Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
744, 16 before 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. LSU tickets to see them eat the Florida Gators. Tiger bait. We'll have a chance for you to win those before 9 o'clock when you hear Eye of the Tiger, and I'll make it pretty clear. When it's time to win, we all know, I think, by now, President Trump's decision to pull back, I think it is, American troops and not necessarily withdraw. We'll find out in a second from Michael Rubin. And it seems as though that has had some immediate consequences. Resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, we welcome in Michael Rubin. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm well. Maybe we can start with a little background on the Kurds and fighting ISIS and the United States' role in all of this, and Turkey. What's been going on for a while now?
Well, you know, there's no shortage of animosity between the Turks and the Kurds. The Kurds have fought an insurgency inside Turkey since 1984, although in recent years it's been pretty slow. What happened, basically, is the United States has traditionally worked with Turkey. Turkey is an important NATO member. There are more men under arms in Turkey than there are in the United Kingdom, France, and Germany combined, wow. The second most number of troops in NATO. But despite wanting to work with Turkey in 2014, the United States decided, you know, Turkey was in bed with the Islamic State. All the intelligence showed they were actively, passively, if not actively, supporting the Islamic State. And that's when the United States started supporting the Syrian Kurds in order to defeat the Islamic State, and they were successful. What's basically happened, we had a small number of troops, maybe 100 in northeastern Syria ever since, sort of training the Kurds, amplifying them, providing them with intelligence. That's what President Trump decided to withdraw. And when that happened, against the background of Turkish threats to invade northeast Syria, that's what we've seen the last couple of days.
Were the troops there, was the hesitancy by the Kurds, by the Kurds or by the Turks to move on the Kurds in Syria, was part of that with the political, with the presence of the U.S. troops, partly political, where they didn't want to have a conflict with U.S. troops?
Well, the important thing to understand about Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, is he's a man of bluster. What I'm not sure President Trump realized, but many of his advisors did, is that when you push back on Erdogan's bluster, he usually backs down. We've seen that in 2010 with some of the demands he made on Israel after the Mavi Marmara ship interception incident, and we've seen that subsequently. So there is a lot of head-scratching as to why we would cave in. One of the other problems we have here, of course, Tommy, is while Turkey says they have to fight the Kurds because the Kurds are terrorists, they can't name a single terrorist incident which arose from northern Syria, northeastern Syria, where they went. And the last issue, which is of great concern, actually two issues. One is, will this lead to the re-empowerment of the Islamic State? And number two, will this lead to the empowerment of Iran, since now in a region that was the most stable and secure in Syria, it's now complete and utter chaos? This is a region which I go to fairly frequently, and so I know the area on the ground where all the operations are going on now.
So when it comes to the Kurds initially, fighting in Turkey, is that what you said, or fighting against Turkey? What was the original beef there?
Okay, well, there's been, you have tension between the Turks and the Kurds, and when push comes to shove, they're two different ethnic groups. Starting in the 1920s, the Turks basically repressed the Kurds, said they couldn't speak their own language, they couldn't do any other aspects of their culture. In the 1980s, this led to an insurgency. That was you often hear the term the PKK. It's actually an acronym which stands for the Kurdistan Workers Party. They were a Marxist group against the backdrop of the Cold War, which was fighting Turkey, which was opposed to NATO, and so forth. Fast forward 35 years, there are allies now. They've given up their Marxism, but the Turks say, you know, there are mortal enemies, and we can't allow them to have a statelet inside Syria.
The Kurds did help us fight against ISIS.
Absolutely. We would not have been able to defeat the Islamic State without massive numbers of troops on the ground had it not been for the Syrian Kurds. And frankly, the whole reason we supported the Syrian Kurds is because they broke, back in 2014-2015, the siege of Kobani. Kobani is a town on the Turkish border, which the Islamic State tried to invade. The Kurds broke the siege of that after 6 months. Now, this is where things get tricky because there's active intelligence and there's video and so forth that show that basically just a couple hundred Kurds were trying to defeat thousands of Islamic State fighters. The Turks allowed the Islamic State across their border to try to outflank the Kurdish resistors. That's what got the United States so upset.
All right, we're going to take a break, try to absorb all of that, because it is a very complex situation. And when we come back, we'll look forward, Michael, as to what has happened already, what could happen in the future, and does this say anything to our allies in the Middle East about depending on the United States in the future? Michael Rubin's our guest, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, trying to sort out everything that's going on in Turkey and Syria with the Kurds. 7:50, 10 before 8. Traffic now, WWL. It is 7:56. I'm Tommy Tucker on WWL, talking to Michael Rubin, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Very quickly, Matthew Dowd, a political strategist that ran the Bush-Cheney 2004 campaign, tweeted, Senator Lindsey Graham, Nikki Haley, and other GOP Trump enablers are like Igor in the Frankenstein movies. They helped construct the monster and then are shocked when it destroys the village. And any validity to that, Michael?
Well, you know, Donald Trump, elections matter, and Donald Trump has made clear that he doesn't want to fight so-called endless wars. He's also made clear that he likes to keep people on edge. Now, this is something which we have to deal with. I think it's a mistake what Donald Trump is doing. But ultimately, it would be useful if the Congress would be better at fulfilling its oversight role.
So are any American troops going to remain there? And what is going to happen with Syria or whatever's left of it, Michael, because Lord knows that country suffered? Are refugees going to be forced back into Syria? Are ISIS prisoners going to be released that the Kurds have been watching? And the president talked about them going back to Europe. Well, that, I don't know if he meant in custody or not, but it seems like we're just opening the spider sack and they're getting out all over the place.
Well, okay. There is, if your listeners look at a map later, there is a town in eastern Syria called Deir ez-Zor. And on the road to Deir ez-Zor is a prisoner camp called Al-Hol, H-O-L. And that's where you got 10,000 plus Islamic State prisoners and their families, a lot of the foreign fighters. Now, the Europeans have refused to take the foreign fighters back. The Kurds have already said, you know, we're going to, we can't keep guarding them if we have to fight the Turks. And it looked like there was some coordination because as the Turks were coming in, you had a few roadside bombs go off in Raqqa, which is the former Islamic State capital. You had fires being set in the camp, and you had people start shooting at the guards. On top of which, the highest value Islamic State targets were in a prison in Kamishli, which is a town right on the Turkish border, a town which I've gone to many times. The Turks, for some reason, bombed that prison. So we don't know what's happened to some of those high-value prisoners. So it's a very, very dangerous situation here. Now, the Kurds will say they have no love for Bashar al-Assad. But if forced to choose between Bashar al-Assad and the Turks, they fear the Turks more. When the Turks came in a year and a half ago into a Syrian district called Afrin, which is further to the west, they actually ethnically cleansed the district. And by that, I mean they weren't just fighting Kurdish soldiers. What they were also doing is digging up graveyards, destroying statues, forcing Kurds out of their homes.
Oh, my God. Michael, I hope you come back. Going to the news now, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.